I'm speaking today with Alex Wathen, who is a candidate for Houston City Council District A. Alex, first question I like to ask candidates is, why are you running for this office?
Well, I think a lot of things need to be changed in City Hall, and the city's priorities are wrong. They need to get back to basics and get things done and make things work in the city. And until we can do that, I don't think we can really tackle the problems. And as someone whose home has been flooded twice and a number of near misses, and live in a neighborhood with a lot of public safety challenges, I think I'm very well equipped to handle that. And I think the other candidates have not been addressing those issues, so I find myself kind of very, very alone in focusing on those things.
Now, you've run for public office before. You ran for Justice of the Peace seat in 2002. What would you say you learned from that experience, and how do you think that helped you as a candidate this time around?
Well, it was a different type of campaign. Of course, it's a nonpartisan race, but we all know that obviously party affiliation plays a major role in it. I think it was a really good learning experience. Like any time you run for office, I ran against a judge that I didn't feel was running his court very well and needed a change, and I was not successful. I tried my best, and I actually did rather well. And the one thing I really learned that was interesting was that when a candidate is under attack, they actually do better. And I remember I ended up under attack in that campaign, and that actually boosted my campaign. And I think anything else, it really ought to be that when you run, the law of unintended consequences, that that you can turn something negative into a positive thing. And I did great, but the demographics of that precinct were such that, you know, it's just very difficult for a Republican to win. And that was probably the biggest lesson, I think, that you can't overcome district demographics. And I kind of held this belief that if you do the right things, you can do that. And my grandfather was a member of the Indiana House of Representatives for about a decade and a half, or probably closer to two decades. And he ran from a Democrat district. He was a Republican. He always got elected. And I guess that was an exception because of his local name ID in his area that people just voted for him. But other than that, it's really hard to do it. And in the end, partisan stuff will control the outcome of the election. I think that's what's going to happen with District A, that, District A voted for McCain over Obama by about 60 to 40, or some other number suggests it's more like 58, 42, but depending, of course, on how some split precincts are count, since it's hard to really count those. But there's going to be a Republican winning the runoff, so and that's the thing important to keep in mind in this campaign, that even though it's a nonpartisan race, it's very important to work on the party aspects of it. So.
You mentioned that your home has been flooded twice. Obviously, flooding and drainage are big issues in the city overall, in District A in particular, and even more so, I dare say, to you. Talk to me a little bit about your experience, what the city, and how you believe the city helped you or failed you, and what you would do in city council to make that better for people who have and have not been flooded.
Well, I've spent a lot of time working on flooding on behalf of my homeowners association, and the Harris County Flood Control District, for one, when you call them, half the time they have a public relations law firm call you back rather than somebody that actually works there, and then they call, find out the answers, then later call you back. So I don't know if that's a very good way for a government to serve its citizens. And they really should have people more in-house that can give good answers, especially if something as critical as flooding, when a select group of people who tend to have their homes flooded the most suffer the most, and even their homeowners associations can't even get through. Imagine just a regular citizen who's not even calling on behalf of a homeowners association. they're going to have problems. And the whole mindset is wrong in city government. They've become too big and, you know, too entrenched, and they, you know, the idea that you know, the bureaucracy is there to serve itself rather than the people, and we don't mind if it's difficult for the citizens. That was something, you know, a week after the, it's funny, right around the 2002 election, a week before the election, when I was running, my house got flooded. And, you know, and then a couple of weeks later, of course, city inspectors knocked on my door and said, here's information how you get a permit for you to want to rebuild your flood damage. And that was really insulting, the idea that you need permission to be able to fix your own house. That's just wrong, and that's the attitude that the city has. And, you know, that's just another example of how they're of no help. They just want to hurt it. And, of course, they've gotten even worse to the point right now with the floodway ordinance that they're basically taking a bunch of people's land, not letting them build on it at all. And, you know, that's the wrong approach. If they really were serious about flooding, they would work with the county, build more detention areas for drainage. That they would really solve the problem. They'd fix the streets so that the streets don't contribute to flooding. But rather, they just put the burden on somebody else, and it's always the citizens. It's you know, and then on top of that, they also have the guts to nickel and dime us for you know, $30 a year permit to have an alarm, and you know, their priorities are really wrong. And most recently, the last few days, I've been wrestling with a problem I have with the city secretary's office. And, you know, I filed my campaign finance report Wednesday at 9:25 a.m. I have a receipt. I have proof that I filed it, but it still is not showing up on their website, and I'm getting the runaround from the city on that. I have the proof that they accepted it. It's been received by them, but they're not posting it, and the legal status of that remains in limbo. And you know, they're not capable of running a municipal court computer system that keeps shutting down on them. This shows that the e-filing system is really flawed. And I've e-filed in federal court since 2002, and I know how to e-file, but you know, it's just another nuisance of how the city is mismanaged. They don't know how to do. They can't get anything right. They have the least competent people working for them. I just keeping amazed how the city fails to do everything.
Well, what as a city council person would you do about that?
You know, one person can only do so much, and I hope that the new class of city council members that comes in January, that there's going to be others other than me who are going to be committed to changing the culture in the city. And I certainly hope whoever one of the four leading candidates becomes a mayor is also going to be committed to that. And, you know, whether that just remains to be seen. But our city's gotten a little too big for its own good, and we're beginning to suffer some of the problems of other big cities. And we're successful in other ways as a community. Financially, we've just had less unemployment and lower cost of living, and we've been very successful, but city government is just kind of a big eyesore in the overall success story of Houston. I think it needs an institutional change, and they need to realize who they're really serving. You know, they don't have much accountability. The strong mayor government system is bad for us, because even if you have the best possible mayor, the mayor can't do everything, and they rely on a lot of administrators who are essentially professional bureaucrats who they can handle any mayor. And the city council needs to get a lot more oversight. We need to reform the charter, let city council members put stuff on the agenda, and have, I think, a much stronger city council. I think we should have a full-time mayor, don't get me wrong, but one person can only do so much, and rather than having their cadre of administrators run the city, I think maybe we should consider some more fundamental reforms, maybe having a commissioner type of city government where you know duties are divided up among elected officials more. There are a lot of things that could be done, and I'm not set on any one model, but fundamentally we need to get back to basics on how to run a city. And they're not serving the citizens very well, and our priorities are messed up. And I'll probably go on and on during this interview on how the city's priorities are messed up, and I'm sure you want to hear more about it. So,
all right, well, let's talk a little bit about the city's budget, which was recently passed. There were a number of cuts across the board in response to this being kind of lean economic times. What's your critique of the city's budget, and how should the city act, given the likelihood that we will have some hard times going forward for at least a little while?
I think here's where I'll be the first one to admit that I don't have all the answers, and the budget process is probably the hardest time of the year. The lion's share is still going to go to public safety, no matter what you do, and I think we need to spend more on that. Of course, money does not solve all the problems, and I think we're going to have a hard time for a while to come. The national economic turndown has not really hit Houston yet. Last fall, around September, October, I kept hearing from people who had connections with new people in the Federal Reserve and business correspondents or other people I bumped into at luncheons or other events. I kept hearing about that I think the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas or somebody came up with a study saying they think that the recession is really going to hit Houston in the middle of 2009. I haven't really seen it hit yet, but I've had a real upswing in my own bankruptcy caseload. A lot of people are coming to me. I've had a record client base over the past couple of months. My business is growing anyway, but I think it's really going to hit us later than we expected. The next couple of years are going to be really hard because I think we may see a fall in revenue for the city. Also, we have to remember also that I think we had a major hurricane last year. I'm not sure exactly what the fall off is going to be once the property tax appraisal hearings are over and done with, and they're still going on. Once a turndown really hits a city, I think we may see a sales tax drop at all. So I think the really difficult decisions are yet to come. I don't think this country is going to get out of the economic turmoil it's in for another couple of years. Congress has yet to fix the mortgage crisis, and until they do so, more and more people are going to be in financial distress. More jobs are going to be lost, and I think we may see 2 to 3 more years. And the worst is, in my opinion, yet to come. And I think when we have to make the really hard decisions in the next couple of years, it's really important our priorities are right, because it's going to be rough. California's having a hard time right now. We're not as bad off as them. I don't think we'll ever be as bad off as the major cities in that state, but we're going to have some very hard decisions to come, and that's why we need to have our priorities straight. And there are just too many people in city government that don't really care, and they just care about their job and not about the overall functioning of the organization. I realize, of course, that that's a problem in any organization, but I think in the private sector, if a business doesn't serve its customers well, unless they have a monopoly, they're going to start losing customers. And people don't move out of a city quite as easily, as they do switching airlines just because they charge a $15 or $25 bag fee whenever you want to check a bag or so we're not as sensitive, but we need to act like they could leave us anytime. The mentality has got to change. And I realize that, some of these projects the city has may pay for themselves. In fact, I hope they pay for themselves, because we have big commitments with arenas, convention center hotels and all these other things, and I hope they pay for themselves. I hope the taxpayers aren't going to have to foot the bill for much of those, but we probably should have been focusing more on flood control and public safety rather than engaging in risky investments that may or may not pay for themselves or should have been financed by the private sector.
Okay. So. All right. Metro is breaking ground on 2 more of its rail lines that were approved in the 2003 referendum. There's still 2 more to come. These are all scheduled to be done 2012, maybe 2013. If you were elected, you would be eligible to serve under current term limits laws through 2015. So looking ahead, you know, when Metro finishes up the tasks at hand now, what do you want to see him do next? Where do you want to see him go? I mean, speak as broadly as you like.
You know, I think it was a big mistake to build rail in this town. You know, we don't have the density to support it. And of course, they built the rail in all the wrong places. That the plan is flawed. Rail is meant, they're doing it as a form of bus substitution into a more fancy, more so-called world-class mode of transportation, rather than actually trying to solve the mobility problems. They're building rail lines that they said would, like, I think the Hobby Airport line that was supposed to go to Hobby Airport to be able to, they were trying to sell it because they would provide that ends at Gulf Gate, and they, you know, they're not even serious about providing real mobility solutions. And one of the arguments for this rail line, oh, it'll help tourists. Of course, it doesn't serve the airports. I guess tourists are the only ones that are interested in going between the Astrodome and downtown. But, of course, downtown is more of a business destination than a tourist destination. But if they were to build rail lines along the major freeways, they might actually have a chance to have ridership. They should never have torn up the tracks by the Katy Freeway when they rebuilt that, but they could have used that for commuter rail. But the problem is, even if they were to build rail in the right places, it would be a waste of money. And I realize it's not our money, it's Washington's money, but it really is our money. And, you know, if the grants would have gone to some other city, then we might as well have them, and I can understand that. But you know, it would help if they built rail lines where they could get cars off the freeway. But I think they're building the rail lines in order to make political constituents happy, certain politicians like their neighborhoods to get the lines, and the ones with the most political clout are the ones that get them, not where the transportation is the most needed. And you know, the one to the North Line Mall, for example, I mean, yeah, they have rebuilt that mall and just smaller, more different types of shopping centers, but I just don't know that many people are going to ride it to go there. So, yeah, it's another thing that just doesn't work. They don't think before they build them. And then I guess I looked at the maps of the ones on the west side, and other than ruining all the businesses along Richmond, I don't see what else the line will do. And we most new successful rail systems, I think, were either built along traditional rail lines, like in L.A., they built the downtown L.A. to Pasadena one. That one made sense. It was also along a major freeway, and they're going subterranean too with their subways, but we don't have quite the density they do, and they're spread out as it is. So I think the priorities are all wrong, and this plan that the voters were voting on a number of years ago is still bad, and that hasn't changed. And I think they need to realize that Houston's always going to be an automobile-based city. A lot of the job growth is out in Greens Point, Memorial City, West Side. West Side is really where it is, and none of these rail lines are going to serve those areas or help the downtown commuters. We already have a very good park and ride bus system, and maybe they should be building on that instead. Maybe having more nonstop buses between different areas. I think that's
one of the things you mentioned in other contexts is red light cameras. What is your opinion on them?
Another idea of how the city is wrong and what to do. I'm for really strong law enforcement, but I think red light cameras is actually weak law enforcement. It's a short-sightedness that the city has. It's one of those things that sounds really good in theory. You know, we're going to stop all these red light runners. But as an attorney that used to defend a lot of traffic tickets, I know how the system works. And you know, red light tickets written by a police officer can go on somebody's driving record. They can arrest the person if they don't show up in court, or actually they can arrest them just for the offense, make them post bond. But they don't. But it has consequences having that on your driving record. These $75 invoices don't go on the driving record. They can't send them they can send them to collection agency, but they can't put it on people's credit reports. They're probably never gonna try to collect most of those, and also has no deterrent effect. I mean, a lot of people just drive through, get the invoice, but what's worst about it is that it doesn't catch drunk drivers. It doesn't catch fugitives. They used to have a lot of officers stationed at these key intersections, and those officers would be there all day. They would hide out and they would write tickets, and you know, and most people paid them or took defensive driving or something, and they caught a bunch of drunk drivers. They caught people with warrants. They, you know, some of the most recent people that have killed our police officers. You know, in fact, the one that killed Rodney Johnson, I think that he was already in trouble with the law. He certainly was here illegally. But you know, there's you catch serious criminals on traffic stops, and if they want to stop, the next thing that's going to happen is there's going to be speed cameras too. And right now there are legislative restrictions on that in Texas, but I've seen it in Maryland. They have them. I've seen them outside Washington D.C. It's going to automated enforcement, and that's a big mistake. We want to have community policing. We need to have real traffic enforcement, because then you catch a lot of bad people who should not be on the streets through traffic stops, and they're eventually going to do away with most traffic stops if they continue the trend of automating it, and that doesn't serve the city very well. Their priorities are wrong. They think they can make a quick buck, but they sacrifice public safety because of it.
Okay. What's your assessment of the current council member for District A, Tony Lawrence, and how, if you were elected, would you be like her or not like her?
Well, I think she's done a really good job advocating for District A. She has always been there for our neighborhood and other neighborhoods. I think she's been very good with those issues. I haven't really paid that much attention to her, what she's done on other citywide issues, because my interactions with her have been about neighborhood issues. And I'm not really running to be either like or unlike Tony. Tony has her opinions. I have mine, and we may differ on some issues. I think she's for the red light cameras. Regardless, people have different solutions to it. And she's been a great advocate for District A, and I certainly want to continue her advocacy for the district. But I think what I bring to the table is I'm a new generation. I'm 38. I'm obviously we've had Michael Berry serve recently. He's also, I guess, part of my generation. But I think I bring a whole new idea of how to do business to the city as well. I'm an attorney that runs probably one of the most efficient law practices around. I use outsourcing a lot. I use technology in all aspects, and most important, I have a very strong commitment to customer service, and I do a lot of pro bono cases where I don't get paid. I'm just being appointed right now by the Ninth Circuit. It's a federal appellate court based in San Francisco to represent a Christian asylum seeker from Iraq who's being persecuted in Iraq on basis of his religion, and I think what I bring to the table is the commitment to serve people, even if it's not politically correct. I'm also been appointed by an appellate court to represent a prisoner, and I I gladly do that. I'm tough on crime, but at the same time, everybody needs to have access to the legal system, just like everybody should have access to city services. And I've taken up appeals from the Houston Municipal Court when I thought they did stuff wrong, and I've won several of those cases. In fact, don't even get me started on the municipal court. I got a lot of interesting things to tell you about that. Our priorities are wrong, and our commitment, we're not committed to doing the right thing. And I support the term limits. I think that we need more accountability and not less. But we need to do something about the bureaucracy, because they're running the show, and nothing is getting done. And I think charter reform, more accountability, stronger city council, those things will help. Whatever I do there, to try to leave a lasting remark has to be something that changes the institutions, because the people always change, and the bureaucrats are still going to remain, though, if we don't change the institutions. So I think institutional reform is where I can really make the most difference as a city council member, to work for that, and I hope that the others will join me in that.
So. Okay. We'll be electing a new mayor this fall. What is your opinion of Mayor White's term in office, and how would you like the new mayor to be, like him or not like him?
Well, you know, I found myself at odds with Bill White on a lot of things, whether it's red light cameras or, you know, the transportation issues. And I'm not running against Bill White. Just like last year when during one of the debates, John McCain told Barack Obama, you know, you should have run 4 years ago before you run against George W. Bush. So I'm not running against Bill White, but I'd like to see a mayor, and I don't even know yet which one of the four leading candidates is the best bet as far as those issues, but I'd like to see a mayor who's committed to sacrificing their own political power in order for the long-term good of the city of Houston. I'd like to see a mayor who's willing to yield power and support a city charter reform that'll make the city work better. And obviously, it may come at their own expense of their own term of how they can do it, and it may be possible it has to be done so it takes effect later. But every mayor in the city just tries to hold on to the reins as tight as they can, and put their own mark on everything. But I wish that that the next mayor will take a more long-term role and try to change the institutions for the better, even if it comes at the expense of some of their own political power.
When people come to vote on November 3rd and they come to the district day race, why should they vote for you and not for one of your opponents?
Well, there are a lot of good reasons. I think I have the experience to be able to make a difference there. I'm a very good watchdog. I don't just say yes just because it's the popular thing to do. I would be a very good steward of the resources for District A and look out for District A. I also bring, you know, my own perspective to things. I don't want the citizens nickeled and dimed. I hate bureaucracy, and I don't think that that's the only way we can do it is a good excuse. And if it doesn't serve the citizens well, it really needs to change. I think I have a commitment to that. And also, I don't think you should vote for people just because they can win, but I think that's a major reason to vote for me, too, for those who like to vote that way. But I'm a Republican, and this race, the runoff, is going to be won by a Republican. A Democrat may get into the runoff, but, the district has voted about 60% McCain over Obama. That's no Democrat's going to do any better than that. Most voters are very well aware of the partisan affiliations of the candidates. They get a ton of literature in the mail. Everybody knows who's affiliated with who. And the question is, which Republican do you want in there? I think most voters are going to want someone like me who takes a more balanced approach on it. A Republican who is okay with representing prisoners, you know, somebody who has I think a more wider perspective on issues, but also the Republican rank and file. I think that I voted 10 times in Republican primaries. I think Brenda Stardik voted only like 3 times, and Amy once or twice. And
in her defense, Amy's only 24. She's only had so many opportunities.
Exactly, and of course, so I think I have the best. I think Brenda even voted before 2000 or something like that. I don't know, but that's just what I've heard. But I think I have the longest involvement and commitment to the Republican principles of limited government and a government that serves its citizens rather than the other way around. I think those that vote for a Democrat are wasting their vote in this case, and those that give money to Democrat are wasting their vote. I'm also doing very well financially right now. I'm just better than ever. I have very low overhead law practice, and I'm in a position, and in fact, if only the city secretary would care to display my campaign finance report, they would see that I've been funding most of the campaign out of my own pocket, and will continue to do so. And I'm not as dependent on the special interests or out of district contributions as some of the other candidates may be. I'll do what I need to do to get elected, and I'll spend the money I need to do to be able to win this race in November. I think I'll make the runoff, and I think I will win the runoff.
All right. Alex Watson, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Sounds good. Good.